And welcome to the Glacially Musical Podcast. It is beer, metal, and swearing. Of course, I am Nick Cameron. I am joined by my good friend, a man who is always near the ocean, always feeling the motion of the ocean, who will always do anything for something, Keefe Klondike Bar. How are we doing today, buddy?
What would you do for a Klondike bar? I would do anything to have a different life outcome that I have been having lately, but I guess I'm okay today because we're podcasting.
Hey, every day walking above ground is a good day. I actually got yelled at. I made a joke about my imminent death, which my death is not imminent. So I was, that got shut down real fast and was brought up a second time hours later to make sure the shutdown stays down. It is a straight up shutdown on that one. So I am healthy, happy, scratching my balding head, sorry. Anyway, so if you are joining us here this week for Queen Sheer Heart Attack, I hope you're here for the album and not the single. We'll get into that later. We got a Waiting for the Sun Houses of the Holy situation going on here. But if you are here for Sheer Heart Attack, the deep dive review, thank you very much. This is the Glacier Musical Podcast. Thank you for joining in. We have a bit of a routine we do here. We do a greeting, we do a beer check, a vinyl check, shirt check, news check. Wait, no. Beer, vinyl, news, shirt, meat. This week's meat is Queen Sheer Heart Attack, the full length album. I am going to get into my beer check. This is an American Pale Ale from Alpha Brewing Company in St. Louis, Missouri. I have the Sipster. You may notice there's a dwarf lady. There's a lady looks like Jem. That dude straight up looks like Lion-O without the lion part. And here we got a samurai who's actually an orc. I don't know what's going on here, but there's a lot. Finger fudge pour. Into my Gateway Grizzlies pint glass, which is one of my favorite pint glasses. If you look at the bottom, if you are on video, you can see the baseball. So when you drink into the beer, you see a giant baseball at the bottom of your pint glass. The effect does not work when one is drinking a stout.
Fair enough. It is not a beer check, but it is another liquid death.
Murder your thirst.
Murder Your Thirst, Convicted Melon, yet again, last one. Just really want to try the new cherry one. I'm gonna have to buy it by the case. I haven't seen him in singles. And it's a pop, and it's going into my Lost Coast brewing glass that I haven't broke out in quite a while. Beers, seltzer, and cheers, everybody. The whammy.
Cheers.
Cheers.
You got to get that first good pull. There you go. There I go, anyway. All right. Now I'm going to move on into my vinyl check. I'm a little light on the news. Going to be following up on a story that I think I'm going to be following pretty closely throughout the rest of the year, which is the Guess Who. We'll get back to that. However, my vinyl check, I have a threefer this week. The first one was a purchase for Lawyer Wife. It is The Best of Blondie. You know, a lot. Metallica's 72 Seasons was a great record because it was the concept of how your habits and your feelings are so defined by your first 72 seasons, your first 18 years of life. She, even though she can afford to buy every record she would ever want, still buys compilation albums, still buys greatest hits, because that's what she grew up having, because it was a much more affordable way of collecting music. So she asked for The Best of Blondie. I got it for her. It's got Heart of Glass, of course. It's got Rapture with featuring Fab Five Freddy. It's that one, isn't it? All right, yeah,
The
'cause he's on,
very
he's on.
first, the very first rap metal, sorry, not rap metal, but the very first rap song to be a number one hit ever. Not even Rapper's Delight went to number one. Rapture did, though.
I
With
had
Debbie Harry rapping.
Rapper's Delight in my hand today at a very reasonable price, and I put it back.
How come?
Because I just couldn't picture myself listening to it more than once. And shelf space is getting quite. I'm actually now making a deal with myself in order to have more shelf space because I decided that I wasn't going to put in any more shelves. This was it. But now that I'm getting close to the end, I'm thinking, maybe I could squeeze one more in. Anyway, number two. This one was also purchased in concert with Lawyer Wife. When I was doing my last Dunkin' package, my last English package, I needed some help because I didn't have any. I just wanted that Izzy Stradlin and the Juju Hounds record and that and Kiss Music from the Elder, which I've already checked. And I didn't know. I'm like, I need help. So she's like, what about Stone Temple Pilots, Core? And because that's, I told her, early 90s stuff is good for this. She's like, okay, well, Core is still very expensive, even in England. So we got the Walmart version of STP Core, which this is a beautiful black and red splatter. I did leave this came with the shrink wrap still on. I left it on. Even though everybody knows I'm very much again. Yeah, I'm again it. I'm again leaving your shrink wrap on, but being as I keep the record inside the outer sleeve in the back anyway, I figured, well, that way I just don't got to worry about cutting where, because I keep the hype stickers now because I'm a tool.
I do
So
too. You got me do you got me like I was already doing it, and then you reinforced me doing it. Like I love doing it. I don't care.
I
That's
think
what I
my
do.
kid actually got me doing
Well, your kid is the reason I do it then. Fine.
There
I'll
we
credit
go.
her.
Yeah, I
I'll give
mean,
her the credit.
fair enough. So, just for the record, we have mentioned my daughter. As
A
she
daughter
once,
check? Yeah, word.
as I'm supposed to say every week, she is very cool and has great musical taste. Don't worry, Dad, it's not a lie.
Super true. We've had some fun with these checks. Here's a fun wrong number text check. Hi,
Hang on.
Lucy. Oh, you had more? Oh,
I got a
man.
threefer.
You said you were light on something, and
I'm light on news.
Oh, fuck me. Go ahead.
So this also is for Lawyer Wife because we are seeing Stevie Nicks in 2 weeks. I purchased the 24 Karat Gold Live Album Tour. It is a gatefold. It is a double disc, so it merits the gatefold. But before you get all sassy and happy, check this out. Look at that. It's got the beautiful goose shit splatter. Multicolored. 24, it's got some gold, some silver, and black. And I can't remember if the other side was. No, it's just, yeah, it's the same. So I have, uh-oh. I literally just dropped a record.
Track, Amtrak.
It's fine. It's fine. Thank God for the 180 gram.
Things are hard to break. I've dropped a couple. They will not break. Unless you smash them like Opa! Greek wedding.
If I had broken it, I would have bought another one and never told her.
That's amazing. Live albums, just like a comp. It's a good way to fill up your collection and get all the hits.
You know how I was saying the nostalgia of the 72 seasons? My first album that I ever owned was a live album. It was Black Sabbath Live Evil, featuring the greatest Black Sabbath vocalist of all time, Ronnie James Dio.
I heartily disagree, but it's fine. The best Black Sabbath singer, not the best vocalist. Sorry, not sorry.
You do.
Rob Dio. I'm gonna do me all the time. Do you have any more surprise vinyl checks?
No, I said a threefer.
I didn't hear it. I didn't think you did.
I
We'll
said
find
three.
out.
I thought threefer. I manifested threefer. I'm sorry if you didn't hear my manifestation in my lizard brain.
I'm having a bad week, Mom. I was in the hospital Monday. I'm full of heartache and pain. Shit is going off the rails. I appreciate you doing this earlier for me. I have Death Clock and Baby Metal in a few hours. I'm not enthused to see Dragon Force, unlike everybody else, and just don't I don't care for them anymore.
I would be.
I know you would be, because you probably haven't seen them as many times as I have. So
I have not. I've seen them 0 times.
I'm bored by them. If you've never seen them, they're phenomenal to see. But after the first 10 times, it's the same show every time.
Bro,
Barely.
I live in
They
St.
can
Louis.
barely play the songs actually, except the guitar players. The rest of the guys struggle to play the tunes. They had a drummer for a long time who couldn't play f Through the Fire and Flames correctly. Like his drumming was weak.
I haven't seen anyone 10 times. Nobody comes here 10 times. Yeah,
that's entirely fair. That's entirely fair. So I'm going to go back, rewind the tape, and do my wrong number check.
Rewind the tape, noticeably F-A-T.
Exactly. I just got, thank you for your cooperation, RoboCop this shit. So I just randomly get a text message, and this person decided to just start a conversation with me. A wrong number text message is not an opportunity to start a conversation, but I felt it was helpful and necessary to be of use to society. Hi, Lucy. Please cancel my Pilates class for next week. I'm Diana. Thanks. Sorry, wrong number. Best of luck. Me. Oh my God, I'm such a careless woman. I got the wrong number. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Don't be so hard on yourself. Life is hard. Don't help it kick you down. Smiley face glasses. Are you ever coming to LA? I'll buy you a coffee. Like, what? This is not the opportunity to start networking. But who knows? Maybe it's a love connection.
No, you definitely should keep that up. You should. There was a wrong number thing I saw on BuzzFeed. Basically, a dude texts the wrong number, and he texts a picture of himself. It was supposed to be before, and he texted the wrong guy. And it's him in a very embarrassing photo with his shirt off in a mirror. And the guy that he ended up texting it to was a bodybuilder. And he said, don't worry, that's your before, that's your start. Make sure you text me again when you get jacked. So there's another photo from a year later where the kid's jacked. And he sent the dude a picture. He's like, that's my boy. So you know what? Somebody reaches out, the universe hits you. You know what? You take it on the chin, wipe off the drool, and just... I'm trying to be poetic and I'm failing. I'm sorry.
I'm taking a lot to the chin lately, but it's more like loads at a truck stop, not fucking Hard Knocks. But anyway.
Wow, lounge lizard talk.
Lot lizard. Time for my.
Lot lizard, yeah.
Time for my twofer. Officially twofer. Again, we are into the late fall. I recently checked Insight, purchased from Richie Cavalera at the Cavalera Brothers Show. And what do you think I also bought at the Cavalera Brothers Show last fall at the Great American Music Hall here in San Francisco? I got the two.
A can koozie.
I get those two, but I got the two recent reissues, re-recordings and all that jazz of Cavalera. Notice the Sepultura logo, but Cavalera, Morbid Visions, and Bestial Devastation. So I'm going to do a quick run through of each of these. No Gatefold single for a single LP. Excellent job. These are records that I had on tape in high school, and they were horrible sounding. Each of these comes with a cool glossy and a lyric sheet in the back in case you never knew Max's lyrics. And the gorgeous splatter. Let's do this one first on Morbid Visions. Very funky, cool.
Beautiful.
Beautifious. Mellifluous, phantasmical, and it did come with the Mylar and the paper. Thank you, Nuclear Blast, for caring about your vinyl collectors. If you're going to charge a legit amount of money, care enough to give us, a Mylar with the paper. Here is...
If you're charging $20 or more, there should be Mylar in your sleeves.
These were $25 each. I could have bought an autographed version of each at the show for $40, but I was like, I love those guys, and I have autographed stuff from them before. So I don't really need it autographed. And then Richie also sold me the Insight, and I bought some other things like merch, bought a shirt. So here is Bestial Devastation. Really cool new artwork on both. The old school cassette back with the two pictures of the brothers, like 1985, 6, whatever this is, 87. And again, these are, Sepultura's kind of thrashy black metal era where they were trying to be Slayer. Here is, again, another glossy with the more recent Max and Igor picture from a couple years ago with the very cool lyrics and Max's hand-drawn, goat skull, Baphomet, ram's head.
Super uterus.
Cool. Uterus. And then here is the other vinyl, a slightly different variant. Again, Mylar with the paper and this one. And very cool distinctive label, right? It's supposed to be Cavalera, Cava... Lera. Very cool.
I like that splatter because it's wrong.
It's candy corn colored. Why is it wrong? Well,
one half of it's really splattered and one half of it is very sparsely splattered. So
True.
It's like they stuck all the splatter on one side.
And it's weird. I don't know how these things... Magnets, how do they work? I don't know.
They're miracles, bro. I don't want to hear from a scientist.
I get it. Neither do I. That's my vinyl check. I have nothing else.
Alrighty.
Shirt check, news check?
News check, shirt check.
Oh, man, again? Alright, fine.
Do you want a shirt check? Well, sure. Okay, I'll shirt check
I feel first. Like we should shirt check first and then news check because we always forget the shirt check.
Fair enough. Shirt check. Even though it has not, I'm wearing my Ice Cube inspired It's Been a Good Day t-shirt. Messed around, got a triple-double. I will say, though, I did not have to use my AK.
Damn right it was a good day. Got a beep from Kim. I've been trying to... She could do it all night or something. I've been trying to take her out since the 12th grade.
Wait a minute. How old is he in that video?
He's in his early 20s, mid-20s. Cause it's
and living with his parents?
I don't know.
Ew.
South Central. Now, Ice Cube, by the way, again, if you ever want to... We should probably do an Ice Cube solo series at some point because his records are wild, right? He was always the most talented person in NWA besides Dre.
Oh yeah, no,
far and away the most talented, actually good rapper in the whole thing. And again, his childhood experience, he is not from the ghetto. He had family in the ghetto. He was raised in the burbs and he bust into the ghetto school, which is how he learned about rap and he became thuggy. But realistically, he was articulate, well-educated, two parents, middle-class income, had stuff, never struggled, not on the welfare, as opposed to Eazy-E and Ren and Dre, who were from Compton. But no diss to Cube, because Cube was a supremely talented
dude. NWA was the perfect mix, because you had Eazy-E, who was completely credible. They were rapping about Eazy-E's life. Then you have Dre, who is amazing at making beats. And then you have Cube, who one, can teach Eazy-E how to rap. Two, can write the words for them all to say. So you have three dudes that are able to create this perfect storm. And we should do an NWA run. I said it. We're doing
I don't know about NWA. I much prefer
fair enough.
They Dre only have... solo or Cube solo. NWA How about... really only has the two good records.
They only got the one. We'll do the one good record.
Oh, maybe we'll do... How about a South Central LA series where we do NWA, Dre, Chronic, Cube 1-2, and maybe Snoop Dogg Doggy Style. Like,
did you forget Easy Does It?
Have to do Easy Does It. He's my least favorite guy, but it's okay.
He's my favorite because he's the one I discovered first. But yes, that's what we'll do. We'll do a South Central. So yeah, we'll do a five series.
South Central run. But by the way, what was the here's the premise for the series. NWA is the Caius of hip hop. Discuss.
I would have said they're the Black Sabbath of hip hop, but you know, whatever.
No, definitely not. They're not the Black Sabbath of hip hop.
Okay, that's not. I just mean in terms of like the family tree business. Okay, they're the Kiss of hip hop.
There's a reason I said Caius. It'll come. It's about Cube and hit. Like,
so you
Cube
know is Caius Josh way more than
Cube
I do.
Cube is Josh Homme. Well, we need to do Caius maybe next. Josh Homme is the rich kid who is not a street tough, and then the rest of the band are like urban ghetto meth punks. My shirt check today, because I'm feeling pretty thrashy. I'm going to Death Clock and Baby Metal later, so I have to be as thrash as possible and wear my Metallica shirt.
As old school as possible.
I need to wear my Metallica shirt and my Hyrax hat that I got recently that you've seen me wear. Shirt check, news check. It's time for news check. Go ahead.
Hat check. I'm wearing my MLS hat, my St. Louis City SC.
No one cares about hockey. It's hockey playoffs. No one cares about soccer, bro. No one.
Wow. Soccer sells more tickets per game in America than hockey.
Could not care less about it. It's not real football. It's a stupid sport. It ends in ties. It's 3 hours long and nobody scores a point. It's dumb.
It is not. It is two hours long.
I want touchdowns. I want physical violence. I don't see any of that in soccer.
Okay, you're not watching it enough.
At all.
Correct. So you need to watch. If you want that, you want Mexican soccer.
What I did do is, so hospital Monday, almost could have died. Heart attack, stroke symptoms. Didn't die. Yesterday, went to see the Mets play the Giants at Oracle Park. And very relaxing time. The Mets put on a late rally, but basically lost. And it was a wonderful time at the game. I'm still waiting for, because Metallica, they've kind of not done their Metallica night the last couple of years. But I'm still kind of hoping maybe if the Giants go on a late run, when the Metallica tour is over and they go back home, maybe we'll get a Metallica night where they will play the national anthem and give away like Metallica stuff, which they've done a few times. And that is all I have to say about that.
We actually had tickets for the Cardinals last night. We had to give them back because lawyer wife realized her personal trainer session was last night, which means so that's when the family goes to the Y. I run the track. Kiddo does the treadmill. I did 3 miles on the track last night, and I'm wearing my full Adidas tracksuit in the Y to run the track. We're walking out. Wife looks at me and she goes, "Ugh, I cannot believe you wore that here." And I said, "What are you talking about? I'm wearing a tracksuit while I'm running the track. This is the most appropriate place to wear a tracksuit other than the pork store."
Satrielli's.
And she just cracked up, and I'm like, "Hey," I'm like, she's decided my Sopranos nickname is Johnny. "Come on, Johnny. I don't want it to be Johnny. I want it to be Chrissy. She can be Adriana." I'm like, "Adriana's super hot." And she's like, "Adriana got whacked." I'm like, "No, we say clip now." And she looked at me, "We say clipped now?" Okay. So, brief insight into my life. I apologize for that. My news check, I'm going to revert back to what I came up with last week, because I know Keefe is going to want to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I'm here for that. But before we get to that, the Guess Who is, they canceled a few shows after the Burton Cummings, the original voice of the Guess Who's lawsuit came through. They are not allowed, nor is Burton Cummings allowed, to play any songs that he wrote due to the injunction. Burton Cummings pulled back all of his songs from the Guess Who out of publishing. So any legitimate venue is going to have ASCAP and all the publishing. So for whenever a song is played there, the artist gets paid for that. It's hard to think about how just because a song gets played in a club that the artist gets paid, but it's true. So the Guess Who has decided to forge on with their tour, and the update on this is apparently they did release an album recently, and so they are going to be playing more songs off of their new album. Wish I was getting a steak that night, but I am not. And that's my news check.
I think you had a bad steak last time, did you not?
I did not have a great steak. I am getting a lawyer wife and I are go. She was gifted as a thank you a $100 gift card to Ruth Chris Steakhouse. So we before seeing Stevie Nicks next month, we are going to be going to Ruth Chris downtown.
Have you ever been?
I have never been to Ruth Chris.
I'm a Ruth's huge fan. Chris. You know they were founded in the East Coast. One of the co-owners of Ruth's Chris is Brad Benson, the former offensive tackle of the Super Bowl-winning New York Giants from 1986-87.
That's my favorite Giant. That's when I was a Giants fan, actually. Wait, they that's were, not true.
No,
later. I was a Giants fan in the early 90s. The year Hostetler won it. Yeah,
because Sims went down with a broken foot, and then they kicked him off the team.
I still hate Jeff Hostetler. They should have put Phil Sims out there with his broken damn foot, because Scott Norwood was going to shank that shit no matter what.
He Norwide. You know it.
I said.
I don't believe in ghosts, but I'm pretty sure in during that 1990 Buffalo, 1991, also the Whitney Houston Super Bowl, by the way, with the national anthem that became a hit single. I'm pretty sure the ghost of my dad was on that goalpost, blowing the ball to go wide right, because my dad, you know, he was buried with Giants football tickets in his pocket. So
I thought you guys were Jets fans.
Fuck no. What are you, out of your mind? We had Giants season tickets. It's the only thing we had of value my whole childhood.
I thought it was Jets. I'm sorry. I don't live in a city with multiple versions of the same shit. We have one. We have one thing, and you love it or you don't. So I don't even know how the hell you would choose. You know what? Moving on. What's your news check? I don't care anymore.
Damn it. I have two news checks. So the first news check is Sick New World Festival is this week. I am not attending. I was hoping to. Again, my life and wealth and things are not, and also my well-being. I don't think I could hold up for basically 13 hours in the desert right now and work a festival and do my interviews and stuff. I will have some people in the building. I don't know that we're going to do a review, but it's this weekend. It was the biggest thing culturally in metal last year in America. New metal is at an all-time high in terms of popularity. Linkin Park just put out a greatest hits and unreleased gems record on vinyl and CD and digital. And So with Sick New World comes the headliner, Slipknot. Slipknot is having a boon of activity. We're about to find out who the Slipknot drummer is, but basically they already leaked that it's Eloy Casagrande accidentally on their secret new website, youcan'tkillme.com. They also leaked the identity of their replacement for Craig James, who Craig Jones, who is retired, is a guy from Clown's solo band that used to do stuff. So, Sick New World, Slipknot. Slipknot is going to play a tiny bar outside of L.A. this week just as a warm-up show for the festival, which is bizarre. And then they announced two headline North American shows for their 25th anniversary tour that's still kind of unfurling. They announced a European tour. They have yet to announce actual U.S. dates. That's certainly to come later in the year, if not early next year. But I still think in this calendar year. And they booked two giant shows in Mexico for the anniversary. I don't know that they're going to play the full album at every one of these shows. They say they're going to, but who knows? And also, we're supposed to get a new unreleased Slipknot album and a bunch more. So a lot of Slipknot activity. I think it's cool. I'm into it. I'm happy about it. I'm looking forward to Eloy and his reign as the drummer. I think it's going to be pretty damn great. And I'm pretty excited for Slipknot. How about you?
One second. Sorry, I was futzing with the microphone while you were talking. I didn't expect to be talking during this. As for Slipknot, you know, they are one of the biggest metal bands of all time, and we did a series on them, and I grew to respect and like them way more than I did in before. So, you know, it's cool that they're continuing, because I can remember having a conversation with my dad years ago, 40 years ago now, and not quite 40, but anyway. And he asked, you know, well, how long has Motley Crue been popular? Have they been popular for 20 years? And I'm like, no, about like 6 or 7 weeks a year is about all they get. And it didn't occur to me that the band still existed when they weren't, you know, topping charts. But to have Slipknot's longevity, it's great, because a rising tide raises all ships. And that's my opinion.
Fair enough. Before we move on to the second news item, I just want to remind everybody that we did a special bonus episode this week on Record Store Day. So you could go back and listen to two episodes if you missed the Queen number 2 album retrospective, as well as Nick and Keefe's Record Store Day breakdown.
And don't take Nick too seriously during that episode, because Nick was drinking pretty hard that day.
I couldn't tell. To follow up on another story we did a couple of weeks ago, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced their inductees during American Idol. I was at Pussifer. I didn't talk about this, but I went to the Pussifer, A Perfect Circle, and Primus show, which was incredible. And listen, I have either attended, or performed at probably over 6,000 shows in my lifetime since I'm a little boy. And this was one of the most unique and special shows I have ever seen, and I don't think I'm going to review it for Ghost Cult, because we already covered the tour, so I think it's redundant for me to review it a second time, and I can't really top the review that was done before my show. But I will say, I would love to see this become an annual tour. And the format of the show basically was all three bands on stage the entire show. They had the floor of the stage with four keyboards and various people to sing and play guitar. They had three drum kits, but only two drummers were in attendance. The third drummer is busy on tour with another band. And then they had little lounge areas on each side of the stage where the band people hung out, and sometimes they went backstage, but most of the time, everybody was on stage the whole time. Each band played like 3 or 4 songs and then went off, and another band played 3 songs and went off, and another band played 3 songs and went off. And they had a little intermission for 10 minutes and an encore intermission for 2 minutes. And then they got heavier and heavier as the show went on, and it was really special. Maynard actually sang in front of the audience for a lot of the show, which he rarely does any of his other bands. He's usually hiding in the back. And it was pretty incredible for his
60th birthday. I'm not a Tool fan. I'm not a fan of Maynard J. Keenan, as we all know. However, I would go see Pussifer. The condition of my parole, not only was that one of the greatest record titles of all time, the cover of it was one of the greatest of all time, and it's actually a damn good record, and I would go see that.
Exceptional. Every put, by the way, like every Pussifer album also has a remix album that follows it, where they literally reimagine every song and completely redo them. And so they played. So there's Remixed Up, which is the Conditions of My Parole remix album, and even the album cover, the identity, the gender identities are swapped, where Maynard is in the dress and the partner is in the jail orange.
Nice.
They played my favorite Pussifer song, which is Tiny Monsters. Absolutely heartbreaking and teared up. Teared up a few times. I'm going through stuff. Life is coming at me very hard. And if you miss it, it goes too fast. And if you're not careful, you miss it. I'm going to slow down for a while. To paraphrase Ferris Bueller very poorly. But let's
you
talk
sound
about
the... like you sound like my wife after she heard Landslide by a Fleetwood Mac tribute group. So I'm going to have to be, like, hugging her while she ugly cries when Stevie sings it into it.
We all ugly cry Laura Dern style during Landslide. You know, Stevie's incredible. I really would like to go see her. I probably should go to Bottle Rock Napa. I can't get to Maryland Death Fest. Maybe I can do Bottle Rock. We'll see. I don't know. It's expensive, and it's kind of late for me to get covered for it. But anyway, let's talk about the Rock Hall really briefly, because I want to whiz through this episode most of our predictions came true. If you want, I'm mildly surprised.
We're getting pretty good at this.
I am mildly surprised that Ozzy got in. I know he's hugely popular because of the Osbournes, and he absolutely deserved to get in on his merits as a solo artist. I think
told Lawyer Wife that Ozzy got in as a solo artist. She is not metal. This woman is straight up not metal. When we were texting and IMing before even getting on the, you know, on our first conversations, I'm like, you like heavy metal, right? Oh yeah, totally. She heard after we were exclusive and were steady, I'm like, you said you liked heavy metal. And she went, oh, I thought you said hair metal. So that's her. You know, she barely went to Metallica with me. She even gave up the second ticket for you because she's like, yeah, one is good. I'm good. I'm fine. And so I'm like, yeah, Ozzy Osbourne got in as a solo artist. It's his second time in with Black Sabbath and now solo. And she looks at me and she goes, good. He deserves it. So there you go. That's why he got in.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of knows Crazy Train, even before the Osbournes. Crazy Train has been in a Super Bowl commercial for cars. It's been in the movie Trolls, which is, you know, a Disney animated, Pixar animated film. It only takes one. As soon as the first publicly traded weed company uses Flying High Again in an ad during a major, like the Oscars or something, you know.
Keep on smoking them joints!
Exactly, from Tribute. I love that. So Ozzy gets in. Foreigner got in, Nick's pick. I was surprised. Still don't think they really... I understand the criteria. They're a great band on every measure. They've sold millions and millions of records. I just feel like...
Bro, Nick knows things.
Nick knows things, and Nick was right. I did not think Foreigner was going to get in, especially against this very tough class. Peter Frampton got in, and I think Peter Frampton should not be in the Hall of Fame, even though I love him.
I love Peter Frampton. My favorite thing about Peter Frampton
Can you name his record before Frampton Comes Alive?
Live at Fillmore East.
No. That is the Allman Brothers.
Oh.
And Dickie Betts died again. Rest in peace.
What the hell album do I have by him where it's live that's not Frampton Comes Alive? That was in his...
Why did you buy this?
It was $5.
That's why. Okay. Peter Frampton...
It's the one at the previous band, not Peter Frampton.
I'm going to Chuck Klosterman this. If you never read Chuck Klosterman, you all should. He's incredible. He's on my bucket list to interview. There's only a few writers I would really interview. He's one of them. I absolutely look up to him.
He is the most amazing stream of consciousness heavy metal fan I have ever read. There's no narrative in his stories.
What's his thing from MTV VH1, right? He did VH1 the 80s or 90s. And he was like... My favorite 17 shows ever are 16 Kiss shows and a Prince show. Holy fuck! It's great.
Well, on the one of his I read, it's like his cross country trip. He brings like four albums, and one of them is Paul Stanley solo. I'm like, bro, nobody likes Paul Stanley.
No, Paul Stanley doesn't listen to that record. What's wrong with you? Okay, so Chuck Klosterman, like, Why? Why Peter Frampton? Why? I'm not mad at him. He's wonderful. He's lovely. He was in Almost Famous. Frampton comes alive. Wah, wah, wah. Talk box. Do you feel like I do? And Show Me the Way. Show Me the Way is ubiquitous. It's one of the most covered songs ever. He doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame, bro. He just doesn't have... You gotta be an automatic locker. I'm here making a case for him that shouldn't have to be made. Now, here's a band that should have been in the Hall of Fame for decades for their importance to rock and roll, and especially punk rock and political punk rock. The MC frickin' 5 up against the wall, motherfucker. Come on, how are these guys in 50 years after they came out?
Sorry, I'm having camera issues.
I'll just keep talking.
No, I'm good now. I'm doing the thing. I'm doing the background thing. I'm sorry. The album I was referring to was Rockin' the Fillmore by Humble Pie.
Well, that's not Peter Frampton. So, like, you don't get credit. Okay, so Ozzy deserves to be in on his own. Is Humble Pie in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I don't think so.
No, I was making a joke that,
you
know.
Can you name a Humble Pie song?
No.
I can't either. And I like the, if I heard it, I would know it, but I can't.
Rockin' the Fillmore has like 4 songs. It's like Allman Brothers live at the Fillmore. It's like 4 songs on 2 records. It's a lot of, and I love it because, you know, you could just have a beer and just follow into that nut bar zone. Peter Frampton in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? No, he had 1 album.
Fair enough. All right, here's the rest of the inductees. And again, we were mixed on these. So that's the rock ones, mostly rock ones. Here are the rest. Mary J. Blige, I said that I thought she could deserve to be in, but it would be hard. She got in. Cher gets in, obviously. Dave Matthews Band, despite my consternation, is in. Kool and the Gang absolutely deserves to get in. I wasn't sure they were going to get in. Very nice honor for them. 50 years as a funk and R&B band. Hugely inspirational, influential to funk, rap, everything. Sampled many times for huge rap songs. And, as I said, there was not going to be 3 hip-hop R&B people to get in. It could only be 2. And so A Tribe Called Quest got in, which is cool. 5 Dog, rest in power. Just died a couple years ago. Too bad he didn't live to see it. Those are under the, so the, you know, again, this designation of awards and do you get in or under a thing. The performer award that Priest got in under is Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dave Matthews Band, Kool & the Gang, Tribe Called Quest. Under the Musical Excellence Award, Jimmy Buffett, absolutely fucking no. I know he just died, but no. MC5 is under that designation. Dionne Warwick, long overdue. And Norman Whitfield. Then for the Musical Influence Awards, also still in the Hall of Fame, Alexis Corner, John Mayall of the Blues Breakers, very famous, put a lot of guys on, Page, Clapton, Beck, made them all famous.
And Green, and don't forget Peter Green.
And Peter Green, and I think also Ginger Baker did sessions with them.
There you
Big
go.
Big Mama Thornton, 100% needed to be in ages ago. Why
Real quick, roll that back. John Mayall was a good dude to know.
Yeah, right? Like, he would be a good pal to go for a beer with. And then also the, unfortunately, still needs to get the name changed, Erdogan Award, Suzanne DePass. And then here's the snubs. So first of all, let's talk about who got in that's beside the big notable rock ones. Do you object to any of these other ones that I complained about, or is it just me? I'm a dick.
Look, Ozzy got in, and that's... That'd be like, you know, the Blues winning the Stanley Cup, but my favorite player not getting a hat trick in Game 7. So I don't give 2 craps about the rest of it. Ozzy got in. Ozzy Osbourne's solo work was some of my earliest memories of music. You know, I know that, you know, I mentioned it earlier that my first album was Black Sabbath Live Evil. I didn't get it until the mid-80s. You know, it was an early 80s record. But, you know, Bark at the Moon, Crazy Train, I Don't Know, Tribute, Diary of a Madman. This was like some of my very formative stuff. And I didn't even know Ozzy was in Black Sabbath until I was in 5th or 6th grade. A buddy of mine is like, oh, you like Ozzy? Did you know he was in another band? No, I did not.
Did you know that Ozzy has an equal amount of great records as Black Sabbath with or without him? Think about that for a second. That's
insane. Is not true.
It's absolutely true. Yeah, 8 or 9 great Ozzy records. All the way up to Osmosis, they're all bangers to me. We can fight about it another time.
We will fight. We need to do an Ozzy run so we can fight about them.
Here are the notable snubs, and they are notable. Lenny Kravitz not in. Like I said,
I'm okay with that.
This is a shocker to me. Mariah Carey did not get in. See, I thought Mary J. Blige would not get in against Mariah Carey.
Correct. Surprised, yes. Okay,
the biggest selling female artist in record history is not in the Hall of Fame. And it's probably because she has a bad reputation in the industry as being difficult. And I don't mean that in an anti-feminist way, like she's a difficult woman. No, she's had mania and caused a lot of diva shit that people dislike about her. Oasis, kind of a surprise. Humongous band.
We'll get in, not now.
We'll get in eventually, not now. As I said, only two of the hip-hop people were going to get in. Completely snubbing Eric B. and Rakim. As you said, you didn't know enough about them. 1,000% equally influential to A Tribe Called Quest, if not a little bit more. Rakim might be the best pure hip-hop rapper of all time.
A Tribe Called Quest was on Beastie Boys records, though. Q-Tip
has got his own cult of personality as a sort of a presence and a personality that supersedes even their band. But like,
there you go.
And then also mildly surprising, Jane's Addiction will eventually get in, not in now.
Jane's Addiction is going to get in when Gen X is all retirees.
50.
Yeah.
No, sooner, probably within 5 to 10 years.
I think longer, but not today.
We discussed that this was an uncommonly large class of artists, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, technically, people are getting into the Rock Hall. It's a lot. That's a massive list of people.
They added a bunch in, like, those other categories.
Yeah, like, they really filled them out. Priest was the only winner of the Musical Excellence Award. There's five this year. Five.
It's like, let's stuff this chicken breast.
Right. Last few licks on this. Ozzy is one of the few artists in for two bands. Black Sabbath in 2006. Randy Rhoads has been in the Hall of Fame for many years. He was inducted under the Influences category a while back.
And it's amazing how two records by that dude are so influential and such a big deal.
Changed the whole game.
She's dead now. But his mother would not let us ever hear the Quiet Riot records. And after having heard them and done them on the Department of Metal Antiquities with Duncan, oh my God, they are awful.
They are bad with a capital B. We're coming to the end of this. Just the last thing, I'm going to put you on the spot, which I love to do. Iron Maiden, did it get in soon? Did it get in next year? Or did it not get in for a long time?
Iron Maiden. Judas Priest got in last year on the Musical Excellence.
I feel like Iron Maiden needs to be the next metal band to get in.
I would say that Iron Maiden deserves it more than Judas Priest. That is, you know, it's just me. You know, we're talking about a 1,200-point score versus an 1,100-point score. This is Phil Housley versus Al McInnes. The difference is Al McInnes won a Stanley Cup. Phil Housley did not. Iron Maiden never won. They were never part of the zeitgeist. They were never part of the satanic panic. They were never... I mean, yes,
they were popular. Record called Number of the Beast. I mean...
Really? Do you name me a time when the PMRC and all the stupid bullshit people out there went after Iron Maiden? They had a zombie mannequin on stage. Everybody knew Iron Maiden was a gas. It was a show. That's what makes Judas Priest part of all that. Nobody knew that was just like, hey, you know, they thought it was serious. Of course, it was all aspersions. None of it was real. But Iron Maiden deserves it, I think, more because I think Iron Maiden's quality over the course of 40 years is greater than the quality of Judas Priest over the course of 50. That is my opinion. That is just Nick. Both are great bands. Iron Maiden gets in after someone dies.
I hope not, man. I really
hope not. They're going to get into the Hall of Fame when Pete Rose does.
Here's who's getting in. Iron Maiden should be in soon. I hope not when someone dies. The next grunge era band that gets in is definitely going to be Alice in Chains. I love Soundgarden equally. Alice in Chains a little bit more in my all-time favorites list, but just like I know there's a sympathy thing with Cornell. There's a sympathy thing with Lane. Cornell is more popular.
That's what I mean for Iron Maiden. That's what it's going to take to put them over the hump for the people that are like, oh, well, we did the leather-bound twin guitar metal band already. That's Judas Priest.
And then maybe Slayer gets in now that they're doing the reunion, and maybe it's reminding people that they're bigger. But maybe they're just too Slayer-y to get in.
The Slayer never gets in. They deserve it, but they never get. Metal needs its own Hall of Fame.
They have its own Hall of Fame. They do one every January.
Is that the
Metal Hall of Fame? It's literally called the Metal Hall of Fame.
Where do they do that at? I don't know.
Anaheim has a celebration. They have a website. They do an on-stage presentation at Wacken every summer. A lot of it is done for charity. The guy who runs it is named Pat Giswaldo, who does a charity for veterans, like giving drums to veterans or something in Jersey.
I demand they invite me.
I actually was invited and I couldn't go. I was invited in January. Maybe we'll go. I don't know how much you like Anaheim. We can go see the Mighty Ducks. It's January.
It's just the Ducks now.
Oh, it's just the Ducks. No Mighty. All right. Nick, set us up and let's run through this, speed run this long album.
All righty. We're put the Wayback Machine to 1974. 1974 sucked ass. Why did it suck ass? Because Nick was not born yet. That's just me being silly. Right now, we are now living in a post-Watergate world where the first United States president resigned. Gerald Ford is now the president of the United States. Gerald Ford, who Chevy Chase famously impersonates later. But, you know, as we have said every time on this series, we are at the changing of the guard. We have now really ventured into 70s rock. The piano has come back. Elton John is there. Billy Joel has become Billy Joel. We are 3 years out from, or 2 years out from Piano Man. Kiss is 1.5 years away from dropping Beth. Pete Townsend has changed from guitars to synthesizers. The Who has come back off their third farewell tour at this point, I should mention. And it's a weird transitional time. And Queen transitions. After recording and releasing Queen 2, they tour England extensively with Mott the Hoople. And the thing about Queen touring extensively in England, which cracks me up, is I live in Missouri. St. Louis, Missouri. So, you know, I don't live in the crappy part. I don't live in Wintersbone, Missouri, where the governor's from. Any of our governors are all from Wintersbone, Missouri. Anyway, it's Missouri is bigger than England. We have 4 million people in this godforsaken state. England has 70 million. So the idea of not driving cracks me up. And I've actually discussed this with Duncan so many times. He's like, yeah, drive a half an hour in England? No, we're not doing that. And I'm like, it takes me half an hour to get to work. And I just live in, anyway. So after Mott the Hoople and Queen do the extensive English tour, they then come to America and do an extensive American tour. And that is awesome. So Queen is now in America. Not only is Queen in America, Queen hits the charts in America. On this album hits in America number 12.
In a very competitive time. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, you know, we talked in the last episode about how this is the cradle of humongous 70s rock. This is the Almost Famous era, 73, 74.
That is correct. Led Zeppelin is touring on Physical Graffiti or Houses of the Holy. I forget exactly which. Sorry, I bumped the microphone. Pink Floyd is touring Dark Side of the Moon. No, Wish You Were Here.
Do our Pink Floyd check, did we? Did you hear the news?
No, what news?
David Gilmour is imminently announcing, or has announced already, a brand new solo album, his first in 9 years.
We talked about that like 6 months ago.
But it's like coming now.
Oh, is it coming?
There's a website teaser on his website. Oh, he's okay. Posting social media photos of him with the band. It is absolutely coming. We're getting a single and a...
What the hell guitar is he playing?
He was playing a black Stratocaster. It's not Blackie.
He sold that.
He sold it. So he's got some black Strat. I don't know. Whatever he's got on his boat. Whatever he's got left on his boat is his gear.
I actually bought a record today in the antique mall for $4. It was a Duran Duran Leftovers record with David Gilmour. It's not
Nice.
Duran Duran. It's probably actually going to go on the Department of Mental Antiquities.
Sorry to
But
interrupt your flow, but I was like,
no, it's fine.
we
Totally
don't have
fine.
the, if we don't have the David Gilmour news, we have not done our job as
I completely
podcasters.
agree, because you know what? We are just pumping the shaft of Pink Floyd and all the members.
Cradle the shaft, work the balls. Jerk my
Hey,
cum crayon until I color you
look, if
white.
David Gilmour is going to drop a new record of some delicious, wonderful solos, please do it in the On an Island style, not the Rattle That Lock style. That's all I'm going to ask for. On an Island is his best solo record by far. Happy to do a chaser on that one. So, yes, we are living in the peak, as Lester Bangs, the Almost Famous, put it, the last gasp, the last grope of rock music. The guard is changing and they're moving slowly. So 1974, Kiss's first record is out. 1974, I believe that's Wish You Were Here for Pink Floyd, because Dark Side was 1972. And Alice Cooper is now going, is about to go solo. Alice Cooper is, oh, the Alice Cooper band is big. This is when the biggest changing of the guard happens. Rock music becomes far more American than it was up to this point. If you think about the 60s, Jimi Hendrix, was he an American or English band?
He had to go to England to get discovered, but he was an American.
He was discovered in America and got big in England,
That's
and
true.
his band was English. So I mean, that's the closest outlier. But Kiss, Alice Cooper, Iggy and the Stooges are about to drop. MC5 is about to drop. The world is swirling. So Queen and Queen 2 drops a progressive, very heavy record. It didn't do that well. It didn't do as well as the first record. So what do? They completely change. And that change drops them at number 12 on the Billboard chart. So imagine in a world where Pink Floyd, because nowadays the album cycle, an album cycle with press, with reviews, with interviews and tour for a band not named Metallica is what? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? When I was growing up, a movie would be at the movie theater for 6 months. Now, if it doesn't hit in the first week, it's pulled. In the 70s, it was even slower. So Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, and Kiss are all on the charts. And in comes this little record from England, Queen, Sheer Heart Attack, which jumps to number 12.
Notably not named Queen 3.
Yes, Roger Taylor, as we discussed last week, not a fan of Queen 2. And you know what? I am a big fan of Led Zeppelin going with Led Zeppelin 3, because I don't think anybody else had done that. They're like, well, what are we going to call this thing? I don't know, 3.
Chicago is the only band I can think of that had a numerical system for the majority of their
Do
career.
you know why? Because they just don't know what to name a
They
damn
don't know
thing.
what to name records, and they didn't have
Even their
one. They
greatest of
had
hits are in
nine.
that.
They had one. Yeah, it's like the Chicago 18 is the greatest hits. There's two. Actually, Chicago has three or
Have it.
four greatest
Have it
hits.
on vinyl.
Yeah.
Chicago 4, which I have on vinyl,
You know what,
is
Nick?
a. f You know what the best part about Chicago 4 is? It's four discs.
You know what, Nick? You're a hard
What?
habit to break.
What?
Living without you takes a lot of getting used to. You learn to live with it, but I don't want to.
Are we living La Vida Loca here?
I'm singing Chicago lyrics from the 80s for you.
I don't know Chicago.
That's tragic. Chicago is one of the
I
greatest
have
bands of all
several of their
time.
records, but I
We
don't really
need to do
know
at
them.
least a, we need to do at least an a 70s run, 60s, 70s, and then an 80s run.
Oh my God. Can we just
I
give
can't
back
sing
like
like Peter Cetera anymore. When I was like 14 and I auditioned for did you know that I
Were
went to
you
the high
Hang
school
on.
performing arts in LaGuardia High School in New York City?
Hang
And
on.
I
Roger Waters, bass player?
Shut up.
Were you tempted by the fruit of another?
I w let's squeeze not Peter Cetera of Chicago, but yes, also tempted by a fruit of another. I got my toothbrush, my toothpaste, and something, and a comb. All right, go ahead.
Now that I've swallowed the beer I was drinking, you weren't funny enough to make me spit it out. If you are ready, let us go ahead and go to this record. Queen Sheer Heart Attack. First off, let's look at the cover. All right, there's a lot going on. We are now seeing Queen as Queen. We are now seeing them glammy, puffed out. It's like imagine Robert Plant from The Song Remains the Same movie, but put him in white satin and make him super sweaty and slightly curlier. So Queen has now fully formed. They've kind of come out of the cocoon. They start off the first track of this record is Brighton Rock. It is a Brian May tune. Freddie and Brian both sing it. It's kind of a bad song. It sounds like it's on 45 when it should be on 33. It's just something. I don't need it.
I've always liked this song. It's always a song as a guitar player and a bassist that was always in guitar magazines. Learn to play Brighton Rock. Brighton Rock does cut again. Queen, these last couple of records really foreshadows the leap they're about to take. They just haven't taken it yet. They're almost there. There's a lot of foreshadow. This is the, I'm gonna spoil it. This is the Obscured by Clouds of Queen. This is their
Wow.
pre-record. I believe so. I believe so. And I'm going to say Brighton Rock's actually a better song than you remember. It's got a lot of different moving parts, which I think makes it hard to feel unified. As an opening song, I don't think it works well. And I think, obviously we know that Killer Queen was I think Stone Cold Crazy would have been a better opener. Killer Queen would have been a better opener. I think if this was later in the record, you would have appreciated this song more. I just think
You're
so.
probably absolutely correct on that one. Moving forward, this is in the next track, Killer Queen, I believe, is an ode to my Hollywood girlfriend, Kirsten Dunst, who famously portrayed Marie Antoinette in a really, really awful movie. Terrible,
Yeah,
super awful.
was poor. I will tell you, if you want to get really, really get your mind blown in a bad way, go see the new movie Civil War. It was deeply upsetting, and I literally feel like this is our fate as a country very soon.
No, it's got California and Texas being together. I don't need it. Anyway, moving forward, Killer Queen, great track, and do not go see Marie Antoinette. That by Sofia Coppola. If you want to see a Sofia Coppola flick, Virgin Suicides, Lost in Translation, those are amazing movies. Don't see Marie
If
Antoinette.
you want to see a Kirsten Dunst movie and you haven't seen Interview with the Vampire, you've messed up your whole life. I'm straight and I love that movie for all the re right reasons. Let's talk about Killer Queen is one of the greatest rock songs ever made. Period. Full stop.
Facts.
One of the best guitar if one of the best guitar, maybe top five Brian May guitar solos. Everyone can sing it. Incredible piano part. Beautifully written, unbelievably sung, funny lyrics, great bit, everything about it. Just 10, 10, 10, 10, 10 across the board.
How many songs can you name that reference Victorian queens and laser beams?
It's just a patently good rhyme. Never done before or since, but it works.
It doesn't make sense, but it makes me happy.
And how about those backing vocals? Jesus, right? What a crime. Just like so incredible, man.
You
Like
want to talk
they
about a band that just they congealed. I mean, man, these guys became gravy on this track in America and in Midwestern America, gravy is a very big deal. We will judge you. And then we'll say, oh,
What
we
about biscuits and
appreciate.
gravy?
Bro, this is the Midwest. St. Louis is not Alabama. I thought you figured that out when you were here.
Everything's legal in Alabama.
Did you see a single biscuit and gravy while we were here?
Not a one was bereft on the menu at
They are around. You
the
got to
place for
know
the
where to
slingers.
go.
If you got a slinger, you don't really need biscuits and gravy. A lot of
No.
carbs, a lot of sodium.
A lot. No, it's like death sodium. That's enough sodium to kill a
Again, I was just literally in a hospital, so I know.
To quote Back to the Beach starring Frankie and Annette, that's enough sodium to kill a plow horse. Moving on to the next track, sung by the drummer Roger Taylor, and I really have grown to appreciate Roger's vocals more on this series so far than I have in previous eras of my life. Tenement Funster. Okay, that sounds awful. And I don't want to be
sound like
of
a I know what they were going. It's like it's got a different meaning than you think. I also, coming from my roots, felt like that was always a dodgy title. Suspect. But like they didn't mean it.
Oh yeah, he's suspect. No retainer. You're suspect. That was from Good Will Hunting.
I know, continue.
Sorry.
You like them apples.
How do you like them bananas? That's from Futurama, quoting. Anyway, it's a fun song. I don't know what the lyrics are about, and when I saw the title, I don't want to know. But Roger's vocals are unlike Ace Frehley and somewhat like Peter Criss. They are a great change of pace. Still a lot of good vocal melody, still a lot of quality. And it you don't really lose anything when he sings. And his conviction is spectacular. And that's what sells his songs.
I have very few notes. I think it's one of the best songs on here. And again, Roger showing that he could carry a whole band by himself as he did later on as a solo artist.
I completely agree that he would be able to. Moving on to Flick of the Wrist. Frankly, I have no strong memories and I heard it at least twice today.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I think it was, you know, a bit of a filler song. But it's not awful. It's just not. The level of Killer Queen, to me, is so hard to top that the record immediately goes like, it's okay. It peaks humongously, and then it kind of goes down a little bit. So
you want to talk about a track that should have just closed this shit out? Killer Queen should have closed this out because... That's the high. It's the high. Moving on to Lily of the Valley. It is only a minute 43. It is an interlude. And I feel like on this album, they were kind of filling it up to the exact perfect vinyl record length. This thing is 38 minutes and 41 seconds. That is perfection on vinyl. However, if the songs aren't perfection.
Some of them are. And I do, maybe they were struggling to kind of fill out the record. As you may know, according to the Wikipedia, which we know not to fully trust.
Wikipedia.
Brian May was very ill prior to the making of this record. He's had some major illnesses in his life, including a few years ago. And he some of these songs, including the next one, was written while he was in a hospital bed, which also is like, how did he do this?
From syphilis? Like, no, not syphilis? Okay.
He had hepatitis. So they were on tour in America opening for Mott the Hoople, and they got vaccinated to fly from San Francisco or L.A. to Australia, and a dirty needle from the vaccination gave him hepatitis. And he was... it's not funny. Why are you laughing?
The irony is funny. I'm thinking about how Phil Lynott got syphilis and had to cancel a tour. I mean, it's the 70s, bro. He's fine. I'm sorry.
I don't think it was the SIF is why he canceled the tour. It was something else, another kind of needle that got him the SIF, or got him the infirm. So anyway.
The 70s were a weird time.
I heard very good things about the live Record Store Day Thin Lizzy album that came out. Somebody I know got it and said it was great. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll have to go find it. But
I have Live and Dangerous, which is neither live nor dangerous, but still good.
Yeah. So, previous podcast subject, Thin Lizzy. We'll link it in the description. Brian May was ill right before this. So they went in for like 3 weeks without him and worked up songs and saw what they had, which is why there's a lot of variety on here. And then Brian came in and finished everything and did his tracks later. So like I think that's also a thing here with these couple of tracks.
That is a very interesting change. It's kind of like Def Leppard's Hysteria, where they were working on it without Rick Allen. Now I'm Here, the final track on the record. Brian May vocal yet again.
Side one.
I said record. Final track on side one. Now I'm Here. Another Brian May vocal. Really, really enjoyed this one. And I enjoyed this song much more than the Brian May song from the previous week. And... I don't know if he leveled up during the tour, if he sang the song, if he sang his previous song on Queen from Queen 2 on the tour, but much, much improved.
Absolutely right. This is a great song. This is one of the best songs on the album. This actually also could have been the I think I would have liked to open with Killer Queen, close with Now I'm Here, and have Stone Cold Crazy on side one, not side two. But that's me. That's what I would do. I'm not in charge. And Now I'm Here is incredible. I do believe it was a hit single. Back with Lily of the Valley for some reason, don't know why. And it's actually about the tour with Mott the Hoople before he got sick. It's literally about their first tour of America and like being embraced and the gratification of playing live and really seeing this band rise. It's literally about, it's like the turn of the page of Queen. It's their song. It's Wherever I May Roam, your least favorite Metallica song. So it's that song for them. This is that
song. Is it the Whiskey in a Jar?
It is not the Whiskey in the Jar yet, though.
Can we flip the record?
Flip it! Don't flip it, flippers. Fuck you. You put that on a shirt. That would be a fucking great shirt for us.
The logo, to wear at Record Store Day.
To wear on record. Yeah, flippers, don't flip. Fuck you. That's what I'm going here. We're going to work on this design.
You know what? Here's what we'll burn in hell. Burn in hell record flippers. Just burn in hell flippers and the logo. Because, you know, you can wear that to the door.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right. Flip the record, by which I mean take it off your turntable and rotate it.
I thought you were going to take the turntable and be like, fuck this! And throw it. Throw the table over! Wrestling style. Rah! I don't give a shit about this.
Oh, we're going to have a turntable match.
Those Quiet Riot records were the flip the whole fucking turntable over, not just the
record. I'm sorry. What do you want from me?
I'm still scarred.
It was 18 months ago.
It was. This has been wild. I do enjoy
it. We have done some terrible things on this podcast.
We've also done some great things.
Quiet Riot was terrible.
Are we doing High on Fire next week as a chaser? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
We didn't announce it. I don't know. I'm fucking spazzing out.
Yeah, continue. I haven't cleaned it yet. I'm going to listen to it tomorrow.
Flip the record.
Flip the record, properly. Listen. In the Lap of the Gods. Now we have that Freddie Mercury phantasmagorical, but still grounded in the modern world. It's okay to be superstitious if you love Jesus. It's not okay to be superstitious if you love fairies. So here we have Freddie finding the middle ground between what he did last time and what he's doing this time. Great start to side two.
A far better song than that Jesus song on the other record. Oh my God.
Freddie should not do Jesus songs. Just gonna throw.
I just don't need the story of Jesus of Nazareth in a Queen song. I never needed this.
No, I need it on Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah,
and several Johnny Cash songs.
That's fair.
And that's about it.
You know, I think there's still he's doing fanciful songs, and he loves his fantasy topics. Like I said, some of the stuff on the last record were like childhood stories he wrote himself and made up with his sister. So like, I think these are cool. It's an okay song to start side two. So it's not the worst. It's well done. Like, his singing is beautiful. Like, I just, like, it's okay. Just okay.
We're just getting a new kind of Freddy at this point. That's just the reality of
the
situation.
Well, he is becoming, and I'll form the head. He is becoming the Voltron Freddy we are about to know. He's
look
already
at my beer.
It.
Look at my beer.
You guys, the Voltron beer. Are you drinking it, or is it just hanging out there?
I just pulled it out, because you know
crazy.
What?
He just pulled it out, ladies and gentlemen.
Hold I was going to get a new beer for beer check this week, but I couldn't find anything. And I went, Four Hands and Surly. I'll drink another one of those. Moving on to, quite possibly, the Queen song of the podcast. Our podcast. And why is it the Queen song of our podcast, Keefe?
Because it's like proto-thrash metal.
Because it was covered by Metallica, bro.
But it's like, before it was covered by Metallica, it was already awesome.
Yes, but it was covered by Metallica.
It was.
James Hetfield did change the lyrics. He had to throw some F-bombs in there.
Fully loaded Tommy gun, yeah!
Instead of like a water gun, like
fully gun, hey-o!
Yeah.
Yeah!
Gotta be metal, yeah!
Gotta make it metal. He said that was like an incredible thrill for him to come on. He's like, it was weird not having a guitar, but to like look over while I'm singing on stage and there's Brian May riffing.
And Tony Iommi.
And Iommi, yes. We're talking about the Concert for Freddy, right?
Yeah, 1992, the Concert for Freddy. But the Metallica had released it on, I want to say it was the B-side of Enter Sandman. So it is on Garage Incorporated, which if you don't have that, you fucked up. Because it has Whiskey in the Jar on it.
It has Astronomy on it. Previous.
Oh, it does have that, yeah.
Previous Glacially Musical podcast subject. And we should do that Metallica run. I was thinking about that last. You dropped the M-bomb, just like I dropped the P-bomb earlier with Gilmore. You dropped the M-bomb, and I'm going to tell you what. I'm okay. We should definitely do that Metallica series. Maybe even
the 80s, sure. The 80s series?
I'm ready.
All right, I'll do an 80s Metallica series. I'm good for that.
Let's just do it. We can just do it.
So, Stone Cold Crazy, I'm just going to, you know, crack my beer, think about that song, talk amongst yourselves.
I love this song. You know, this is one of my top three Queen songs ever, and it absolutely slays. No notes. It's great. It's metal. It was called a thrash metal song in a review for this record before there was thrash as a thing. Unreal.
And as Queen is wont to do, let's slow it down. They come into Dear Friends. And I can remember, and this is, I'm going to jump into next week briefly, listening to Queen's A Night at the Opera when I had it on cassette tape. I remember my friend Nate going, when my best friend came up, and I will tell a story, remind me to tell a story next week, or I'll tell it now in case I forget. When my wife and I got married, we had a best friend's dance. But our best friends did not realize we had a joke. So the song we played at our wedding, because we had our first dance, she had the father-daughter dance, and then we did the best friend's dance. Guess what song was the best friend's dance song?
St. Vitus Dance.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm going through changes.
No. It was You're My Best Friend by Queen.
Oh, that's a great song, yeah.
And so I danced with her best friend, she danced with mine. Halfway through the song, we winked and switched. So I was dancing with my minister friend.
Okay.
Yeah, it was delightful. Anyway, so yeah, Queen gets, you know, fanciful, a bit romantic, if it were, as it were. And this is the beginning of that. Right now, we are not, and I mentioned earlier that they had come out of the cocoon. They are still in it, but the hooves are coming out, the claws are coming out.
Indeed. They're starting to show their things. I think Dear Friends is a solid tune. Again, another one-minute-y. There's a bunch of these that are like, you know, tiny songs.
Lots of them.
Tiny songs to fill up space. It's okay. It's not terrible.
It's okay and unnecessary.
Also true.
You're not going to convince me very often that a 67-second track not on a hardcore record from 1982 is necessary. Moving on, we go on to Misfire. This is a track completely written by John Deacon. I didn't know John Deacon had ever written a song. And I don't really remember this one. It's also only a minute 50. The problem with this side of the record is everything is really short. So it all really blends.
I wonder if this was their try at Abbey Road. Like, let's just do a pastiche of things and see what sticks. I do like this song. I think it's underrated.
Sorry, I got to jump in. You mentioning the Beatles is great. Because right now we are at the end of that serious Beatles influence. The everybody writes and everybody sings kind of influence. John Deacon is the only member of Queen that hasn't sung. At this point, Kiss is all three of the four members of Kiss are singing. It's still out there, but this is the end. These are the guys that got over the finish line for that kind of Beatles influence. It's over. I mean, it's over, and it never came. In 50 years, it never came back. That is so weird.
It's wild. Misfire's a good song. I wouldn't throw it away. It's actually pretty decent. And I like, John has contributed more than you think. A lot.
That's probably true. I am not the largest fan of Queen. I love
just,
them.
Just going to say, another one bites the dust, John Deacon. Anyway.
Is it really?
And some other ones that he wrote that will surprise you that were huge hit songs.
Trying to think if I have it in my
hand
today.
We're going
to
get
it. I had that in my hand today on vinyl. I did not purchase it. Moving on to Bring Back That Leroy Brown. Okay. That's a weird thing. Freddie is doing his Freddie thing.
I'm going to jump in and say that Bring Back That Leroy Brown is a better idea than a song came out. Jim Croce had just died. Known for one of his big hits, Bad Bad Leroy Brown. Toughest guy in town. Meanest guy in town, right? Just died. They liked him. He was a great songwriter. Distinctive singer from San Diego.
Record, do not piss into the wind. Do not tug on Superman's cape.
Yeah.
And never mess around. Wait, that's Jim.
You don't mess around. Leroy Brown's the other guy. Anyway.
Same dude.
I like the idea. Tribute song, maybe not executed the best, but it's okay. It's a side to Soft Underbelly. Absolutely the Soft Underbelly of the record, even with the other songs that are because Flick of the Wrist is solid. So this is definitely Dear Friends, Misfire, Bring Back, Soft. Right? That's not unfair.
No, it's, not
it's,
unfair.
It's
I
5 minutes I didn't need. 5 minutes and a half, 4, 5 to 6 minutes I could not. I
frankly, the side two is not spectacular.
Stone Cold Crazy is, but not the rest of it.
Okay. You get 1A and
4 Ds. Hey!
Wow,
Let me tell you something about 4 Ds and the band Queen.
The Mormons, when they got to Utah, they should have done DVDA.
Yo.
That's from Orgasmo. I'm just
pulling
kidding.
Out the deep cuts.
Oh, I love deep cuts.
We're almost at the finish line. Keep going.
Okay, next, She Makes Me Stormtrooper in Stilettos. In the 70s, Stormtrooper is a Nazi term. I know in America in 2024, we all think of it as Star Wars, but it's not.
It's also to imply Nazis. Like, correct. That's Star why he chose Wars. It.
Yes, it was. You're muted, sir.
He could have called them anything, Centurions, Paladins, anything. He called them Stormtroopers for a reason.
Paladin would not work, but that's besides the point.
It's a knight.
No, a Paladin is a specific class. Oh, they are the damage taker.
Jesus Christ.
Nerd. What? They're the tank.
Nerd.
Nerd alert. Yeah, I know. I get it.
How do you like this song?
I don't remember it. I'm sorry. Side two is filler. This album is tracked poorly. This album is tracked.
Sequenced curiously. I understand why. That's what I mean. But like... You know, and again, the problem is Killer Queen as a song is like a 10 of 10.
And then it's 11.
And Stone Cold Crazy is to be also like almost a 9 or a 10. But like, mm-hmm. I understand why the rest of the record pales in comparison. It's unfair to the rest of the songs.
It is unfair. These songs might not be as poor as I'm making them out to be. But you have two... When you talk about a band that lasts... What, 30 years, basically, Queen? Or 25 years, give or take? And you have these amazing songs. And if a band lasts 20 years, which is about what Queen... Yeah, Queen lasted about 20 years total before Freddie died. And they put out several records. This is a band that put out probably 40 classic songs. In the 90s... Not long after Freddie died, there was a 2-disc set that was Classic Queen and Queen Greatest Hits. I had Classic Queen. That was one of my first, that was my very first CD that I ever owned. And you have two songs on this album that made it to Classic Queen. And that's just amazing. If you think about, you know, we routinely talk about Metallica. And how many Metallica songs off of Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, and Master of Puppets, and Injustice for All make it into the legitimate Metallica greatest hits canon? What, 9 songs out of those 4 records, realistically speaking? Maybe 10? And that's just the way it is. So when you have these songs that are head and shoulders above everything else, they're just gonna get the top billing, period.
Fair enough, fair enough. No notes, man. We're not gonna rank them just yet, but I would say the shame about this record is, with the very big high points and a couple of other solid songs, it's still a good record to me. The problem is that Queen 2 is so good, and Queen 1 had kind of the building, the DNA of the band in it, that this record kind of falls behind Queen 2 for me. We'll talk more about it at the end of the series, but I just wanted to throw that out there. It's not a bad record, just a lot of filler, a lot of hoping something, throw it at the wall,
It's
see
not
what
even a
sticks.
lot of filler, really. It's just Queen 2 was amazing. Queen 1 was pretty darn good. Queen 2 is amazing, even though it doesn't have any classics. This album has two classics, and it might not be as good as the previous record. But the two classics that are on here are top tier. We're talking S tier Queen songs, and it makes everything else look shabby.
Fair enough, fair enough. I think that's a good place to stop. We did go rather long, but I appreciate that you went
We
early
did
for
not do
me.
the last track.
We didn't,
In the Lap of the
because it's
Gods
forgettable.
Revisited. Yeah, I
None
forgot it.
unnecessary revisiting longer than the original. Like a reprise should be a minute or two. Why is this 3.5 minutes?
Don't need it.
Sorry, Queen. Sorry. I didn't need this. Apparently this also were these songs were played live. They used to do a medley with Seven Seas of Rhye and a bunch of the little filler songs, and these were on it. The original and the reprise and Lily of the Valley. Why? Who needs this?
I have questions, and I don't need that.
Didn't have enough bangers yet. That's what it was. They didn't have enough bangers in their own opinion, maybe. I will tell you this, that this record is interestingly, like I said, this is the Obscured by Clouds. This is the formative. They're trying things that work better later, and we're gonna find out in a couple of weeks what we mean by
Well,
that.
in a couple of weeks, we get to Night at the Opera, which sucks. Anyway, Keefe, last words of the week.
Good record, important to have if you're a collector. Is it essential? These couple of songs are, so you might want to get it on vinyl if you love you need to have all the records. Do you need to have this record if you're not an absolutist and a completist? Probably not, but I do love those couple. Killer Queen is undeniably one of the greatest rock songs ever, and Stone Cold Crazy, at the very least, is an excellent song that is a precursor to thrash metal and new wave of British heavy metal.
A lot of good stuff on this record, a lot of stuff that's forgettable, but it also has the secret ingredient that I love, really good stuff that was forgotten. Tenement Funster specifically. So, do you need this record? I mean, if you are collecting a Queen collection, I wouldn't call it essential, I'll be honest. However, the highs are really high and the lows aren't terrible. They're just eh. So, moving forward, we'll get to the ranking in a couple of weeks. And with that, I will say, everyone, thank you for joining us this week. Keefe, of course, can be reached at Ghost Cult Mag, at Ghost Cult Keefe on all the things. You know what those things are. Facebook, Twitter, Blue Sky, Mammoth. Wait, is Mammoth still a thing? I don't even know. And Threads, Instagram, yada, yada, yada. Follow his business. Go to his website, ghostcultmag.com, for all of the wonderful news, reviews, interviews, and for those rare times he can convince me to put my fingers to clickety-clacks and make words on a page. It's been a minute, so go ahead and ask me anytime soon. And if you've made it this far, thank you very much. You are amazing. You are awesome. I hate to ask for stupid things, but if you could give us a review, if you could give us a subscribe, or just a thumbs up, or interact with us anywhere, that is how shows grow. You are already listening? Take 2 seconds, let a friend know. As for myself, I am Nick Cameron. I started Glacially Musical, the blog. I still maintain Glacially Musical, the Twitter, Glacially Musical, the Blue Sky, Glacially Musical, the Threads, and Glacially Musical, the Instagram. and the Department of Metal Antiquities and the Glacier Musical Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. As we say every week, this has been the Glacially Musical Podcast. It does not play in Peoria.
But can you buy gunpowder gelatine in Peoria or not?
Nitroglycerine!